The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's I on Real Estate on AM 970. The Answer.
This is I on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of I on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. I'm Dottie Herman. You're listening to I on Real Estate. And as I promised, we have a great guest on for you, Erica Kotai. She's the co-owner of She Sheds Living and the author of She Sheds, A Room of Your Own, and She Sheds Style, Make Your Space Your Own. I've been to man caves. I actually was fortunate enough to go to Ohiga Castle, where there's a man cave, and I was one of the, I think, the only woman that I got to see it once, but I never heard of She Sheds, but I think I might want one. So, Erica, I'm so glad you came on. Tell us all about She Sheds and how you got involved with doing this.
I'd be happy to. Well, I was editor of a vintage home magazine for many years, of Victorian homes and then romantic homes. And we shot a lot of beautiful old houses around the country. But the things I really liked were the outbuildings, were the carriage houses and the ice houses and the little guest houses behind the main house. And so I always had a thing for the little structures. And then I started hearing about She Sheds about 7 or 8 years ago. And a book publisher approached me and said, you know, we see it too. Want to write a book with us. So I was very fortunate to write these two books. And then I thought, well, now I want to help women actually realize their vision of a little backyard sanctuary. And so my partner, Sabrina Contreras, and I started She Shed Living in 2018.
Okay, so Erica, because again, I don't think a lot of people are familiar with She Sheds. So for those who don't know, what exactly is a She Shed?
A she shed is looks like a shed, but it's a human measured space. It allows someone to actually hang out in the structure. It's not meant to be an ADU or a tiny house. It's a backyard room that is beautifully outfitted, that is functional, that fulfills the function or the hobby or the leisure time activity of the woman who owns it. And so it really extends your house so that you have a place to get away, or you have a place to entertain friends, or you have a place to maintain your garden. She sheds really are sort of the granddaughter of potting sheds. But now they have a many more uses besides potting plants. But that is really a huge part of the She Shed movement, is maintaining and enjoying your garden.
So you would say, if you had to say what are the top five uses of She Sheds, you would say to enjoy your garden. What would they be?
That is probably the top use. If you think about gardening, it just calls for a little place for you to put all your dirty things, but also to dream about your garden in the springtime and plan your beds. But another big one is an artist studio. If you build your she shed correctly and have the right kind of light coming in, and have an open space maybe in the front of it, it's a perfect art studio where you can paint on canvas, where you can do mixed media projects. that is an emerging use for a she shed. Another one we are really keeping our eye on is entrepreneurial pursuits. There are just so many ways you can run your business or start a side gig, and having that dedicated space in the backyard really helps you incubate your new business. And it also is hopefully something beautiful enough where it provides this amazing backdrop for you to take pictures of your products and post them on social media. And people just really love that sort of outdoor aesthetic that comes from being in a she shed. So those are the top three. And then actually yoga, working out, meditation, that's a big one. They make very quiet rooms for doing your own thing with your exercise. And then I'd say maybe the fifth one might be just a place to have a focal point in your backyard, to entertain your girlfriends, to have a place to maybe have your barware or your party wear for when you entertain in the backyard. That is also a really fun way to use your she shed.
Now, I'm assuming, Erica, that she sheds are for women only. Or, I mean, I guess you could let a man if you wanted to, but I'm assuming it's basically something for a woman.
Well, it is, you know, since it has the gender associated with it, but we're starting to call our she shed business more about backyard studios, because we do get interest from men when we go to trade shows or when we're working with people who respond to our website. And we just say, you know, that's it's a fun phrase that is memorable, but it doesn't mean at all that it is not something for everyone. Everybody talks about man caves, but we think of man caves as something that's more inside the house. It's a room dedicated or the garage dedicated to a guy and his pursuits. So this was sort of the antidote, if you will, to man caves. But really, it's a label for a private backyard space for a man or a woman to use, in the way that they want to use it.
Well, in my mind, I can just see it as a place, especially if you're in a home and you have kids and a lot's going on, where somebody can just get out of the traffic and have a quiet, peaceful space just to unwind.
Yep, exactly. And if you think about it, a lot of women will come up to me and say, well, my home is my she shed. And I said, well, that's you're very lucky. You know, not everybody has a large enough or a private enough home where they have a room of their own. But one of the great things about a detached structure in your backyard is that if you're working on projects or you have things that are like journaling or something that is intensely personal, or that you just want to keep things out until you're ready to put it back together again, you close the door on that shed and nobody messes with your stuff. It is locked away. It's only your space, and that's a really liberating feeling to know that everything will stay as it is until you open that door the next morning. That's one of the key pleasures of having a she shed.
That no one really, you can lock it and it stays the way you have it.
Exactly.
Now, okay. Do you have to construct, a she shed, and if you do you need a permit to do that, or are there ways to do it without constructing a special room? I'm just curious.
Well, that's a good question, and it's somewhat complicated. It kind of depends on where you live. We're based here in California, although we consult with women across the country to help them design their she sheds. On the East Coast, a lot of cities and towns.
I think I lost. Okay, well, until we get back, Erica, I want a she shed. I think that if you're going to construct something, you'd probably have to go to the zoning in your individual state or county, because But I'm just wondering, if you don't construct one, how can you, is there a way you can make something that's not a structure? Because I don't know if you put a structure on, if you're first of all, it has to be, you have to be allowed to do that. And if you have to have zoning, and if you get taxed for it, and how much that would actually cost. I don't have Erica to ask her, so I'm just assuming that to build a structure, again, like I know, you know, I have a house in the Hamptons, and I know that in Southampton, you can't do that. You might be able to if you have special permits and this and that. But in Sag Harbor, people have houses, they're little like sheds that are outside, and some of them use them as guest houses. I have a friend that has a house in Sag Harbor. She has a little shed outside, and it has a bathroom. It has everything in it, and people guest stay there. But that's in Sag Harbor. I know in Southampton you can't do that without special permits. Are we back, Erica?
Yes, I apologize. I'm not sure what you heard.
Well, okay, we're asking you, like, I'm sure it depends on where you live and the zoning, but
yes.
If you had to construct one, then you might need a permit depending on where you live. But I guess, but is there a way you can do that without a lot of cost? And if you do construct one, like, what would that include? Would you have a bathroom in it? Would you have a sink in it? Can it vary?
Oh, okay. So the definition that we use for she shed is that it's a single room with no plumbing. And you know, usually no hardwire electrical. So that doesn't necessarily mean you can't have those things. But if you think about, say, a pool cabana, where it's just a really simple room, you know, you might have some things plugged in. You might have wiring that you already have in your landscaping that you can connect with the components in your she shed that you want electrical for. Those are the kinds of sheds we mostly deal with, because as soon as you get into electrical and plumbing, you need permits. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's okay. You know, a lot of people are nervous about going through the permitting process. A lot of times it's not that bad. So I encourage women that if they want to have it fully outfitted with a bathroom and a sink and electrical, you know, hardwired into the structure, then to look into it and see what's involved and see what the costs are. As I said, sometimes it's really worth it if you really want that fully outfitted she shed. But for the most part, they are rustic outdoor rooms. In the East Coast, they might be seasonal rooms where, you know, it might be too hot or too cold some months of the year. But for those beautiful fall days and spring days, it's a wonderful little outdoor structure.
So how does a she shed differ from an ADU or a tiny home? I guess part of it is electricity, but how is it different?
A she shed is not intended for 24/7 living.
Okay.
A she shed is your spare room that is hopefully surrounded by your garden and the outdoors, and it might cause you to, you know, bring that favorite throw of yours to keep yourself warm, or a little fan to keep yourself cool. It's almost a way of reconnecting with nature and reconnecting with your backyard, a place that for many women and men is sometimes underutilized space. And I love the fact that a she shed helps you utilize and enjoy your backyard space. It's really valuable real estate if you think about it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I want one.
Yeah.
Do we have a caller? Is it? Do I see a caller calling? No, no.
Can you reach
okay. Me? So I thought that if there was a caller, they must have disconnected. Well, could a she shed be kind of what you would maybe do, like if you wanted to make a child's playhouse?
Yes. Absolutely. And I wrote something about playhouses, and I told, or I advised homeowners that if you have children and you're building a playhouse, make it a great playhouse and make it scaled so that a grown woman or a grown man can use it, because children grow up and they leave, and you might want a little space to make your own, you know, 10, 15 years down the road. And you have this amazing playhouse that is now your she shed. And the opposite is true, too. I recently moved from my home in Huntington Beach, and I left my 6 by 6 foot she shed because I have a tiny backyard. But it was as cute as heck, and the new owners wanted it. And they had a baby, and they were planning to have a second child. And it was, they decided it was the perfect playhouse for their children. So it works the other way, too.
You know, your point is so well taken, because when I bought my house on Long Island, it had an acre property, and there was a little house on it, you know. And so my daughter was little, so I put, you know, an easy bake oven in there, and a little, I didn't have electricity, but we put, like, all little stuff for dolls. And,
yeah.
But she could walk in it. I could not, I mean, unless I bent over back, you know, if I crawled in,
right.
I couldn't fit in it. So once she got too tall, then it was useless. So I think that's a really good point to make, that if you're going to build one, you might as well make it so that somebody can grow up and still use it. Otherwise, it's only good for a certain amount of time.
What? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just useless to scale it down, because it's still small and kids love it because it's a miniature house, but make it so you can get in the door.
So now you have a book, She Sheds, A Room of Your Own, and She Sheds Style, Make Your Own Space. Do you tell people, first of all, where can you get that book? And do you tell people how to construct one or how to do different types of them?
I do. She Sheds, A Room of Your Own is the original book, and it introduces you to what a she shed is, what it's used for, what it looks like, the elements of style. And then I have a really great chapter in there where I actually built one for my sister-in-law using a kit. There are a lot of kits out there that you can buy as an alternative to starting from scratch. And the chapter is pretty honest. It tells you how hard it is, you know, what went right, what went wrong, the steps involved. But a lot of it is inspirational. It's just beautiful photography and, you know, detailed shots of the architectural elements that make a fantastic structure in your backyard. And then in She Sheds Style, I assume that the person who bought this second book is kind of serious, and I started going into more detail about, the actually building your own, how you're going to do it, what colors you're going to be using, what kind of architectural detail you'll have, how your landscaping is going to look around it, the entryway to your shed in your backyard, you know, all of those, you know, digging deep elements that
I know we don't have much time. I'd love to come back. I'm definitely buying your book because I want to build one. About how much does it cost, or, you know, how and what goes into, you know, designing it? And could they be all different types and different costs? Like, does it vary depending on what you do with it or how you build it?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, you see a lot of things about sheds being as little as, you know, $500 or $600. And that is a little unrealistic unless you have a lot of spare parts and wood lying around your property. I would say that a really cute shed of at least 8 by 10 with lots of windows and a French door would probably start at around $8,000 to $10,000. And if you're really pulling out all the stops and you have, maybe a 12 by 20 or a 14 by 20 greenhouse with, you know, a loft and interior wood siding and a wood floor, I would say you should look at it going up to around $25,000 to $30,000. So
Erica. It's been such a pleasure. And I think you should come back again. And for those of you who can't afford that, I believe you can do them, depending on what you do, for a little bit cheaper. It's the whole concept, and I think it's a wonderful idea. It's a place to just kind of get away from everything. So Erica,
absolutely,
thank you so much, and please, I hope you'll come on again. And I'm going to get your book, and if I have any questions, I'll get in touch with you.
Thank you so much, Dottie. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. We're going to be back, and after the break, we'll be talking about aging in place, which is something that is very important today.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. I'm so excited to tell you about Norwegian Cruise Line's Piscopo at Sea, which sets sail from New York City to beautiful Bermuda June 2nd to June 9th. Unlimited beverage package, specialty dining, prepaid gratuities, $75 onboard credit, VIP cocktail party with yours truly, and much more. Norwegian Cruise Line's Piscopo at Sea leaves New York on June 2nd and returns on June 9th. Call for reservations now. There are limited cabin availabilities. Call 888-472-6430. 888-472-6430 or email info@joepiscopo.us. That's info@joepiscopo.us. Piscopo at Sea is sponsored by Gold Coast Cadillac in Oakhurst, New Jersey. Awarded Cadillac Dealer of the Year 27 times. Shop goldcoastcadillac.com or call my friend Bill Camastro directly at 845-568-7336.
Does springtime make you think of more daylight, flowers and trees in bloom, or even spring cleaning? Those are all good, but not as great as the Invite Health Buy One, Get One Free Spring Into Savings event. The sale is on now. Buy any Invite Health product at suggested retail and get the second bottle free. Spring into an Invite store today to learn more about how to stay healthy with help from one of our nutrition experts. Give us a call to order by phone right now at 800-673-2345. That's 800-673-2345. Listen to past shows and informative podcasts all at invitehealth.com. Visit InviteHealth.com for our retail locations and to set up a free nutritional consultation in person or by phone. Take advantage of Invite's limited time buy one get one free spring into savings sale. Contact Invite at 800-673-2345. That number again, 800-673-2345, or go to InviteHealth.com.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. Many students finish college without a clear path towards a career. Do you know a graduate in this position? Well, tell them about Plaza College's accelerated program in court reporting, which allows them to speed their way into the legal field and make great money without going to law school. This is an in-demand, lucrative career with flexibility that more people need to know about. I speak to the district attorney's offices often, and they are in dire need of court reporters. Courts, schools, and television stations are all seeking these professionals to record and caption everything from depositions, classes, live shows, and sporting events. And the National Court Reporters Association has partnered with Plaza College to offer a free 2-week virtual seminar that gives a glimpse into the world of court reporting and captioning. The program is called A to Z and is being offered free and can be completed from the convenience of your home. So sign up today by emailing info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu. You.
Brandon Tatum, weeknights at 8 on AM 970, The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. I'm Dottie Herman. You're listening to Eye on Real Estate, and I have one of my favorite people. We're always talking about New York City, and it's time that we talk about some other things. And one of the most beautiful states and places to live is Connecticut. And I have Jennifer Leahy, who is the number one team in Connecticut. As I said at the beginning of the show, she's it. She's the best. Also a friend. And she is, there's just no one better. She's unsurpassed with White Club client service. She's been recognized as Connecticut's real estate expert, quoted in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Bloomberg News. You can see her online with her house tours and various outlets. She's beautiful. She's earned the distinction of being Douglas Elliman's number one Connecticut team since 2020 and the number one agent for so many years. And she's just got it all. So, Jennifer, I'm so thrilled that you're on.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dottie. It's so good to be with you, even if it's on in the radio.
Yes, and I think that, first of all, I mean, you're it. Whenever I think of Connecticut or I do anything with Connecticut, I send them to you.
You're the best.
Not that you're not familiar with New York, because you are, and I know you're in the Hamptons a lot, but you really specialize in Connecticut. There is no one better. Could you tell us, or tell the audience, a little about Connecticut and some of the things that they, why they could move there, and some of the price ranges, and some of the amenities, because Connecticut is really such a beautiful state, and it's close to New York, and of course, so many people that work in New York live there. So why don't you, you're the expert, why don't you talk a little about Connecticut?
Sure. Connecticut's amazing. I was born and bred in Connecticut. I still live here with my family. My team sells pretty much every town in Fairfield County, and we even go up to Litchfield and border cross into Westchester as well. It's a wonderful place to live, where we have the Long Island Sound. We also have a lot of country. So whether you're looking to move into Greenwich, and, you know, in every town we have all price points. Greenwich is one of the bigger kind of luxury markets where, you know, you can buy a co-op for $250,000, or, you know, you can come to my listing I just put on the market for $49,500,000.
And by the way, what do you get for $49 million?
You get over 12,000 square feet and 1.6 acres of magnificent waterfront Long Island Sound views.
Wow.
A dock, private beach. You're next to, you're in the enclave of Mead Point Association. So that's a 24/7 guard gated community. Absolutely spectacular. You know, and at the same time, if, you know, I'm selling something in Darien, Connecticut on the water with gorgeous Long Island Sound views. A little bit smaller, but you know, that if you're moving up the line a little bit, that's on the market for $11.2 million, right? And as you move up, you know, the prices come down. So there is extremely gorgeous real estate at every price point throughout Fairfield County. You know, whether you want to be on the water or off the water is, you know, a factor. We have clients that are looking for homes under $1 million, and then obviously clients with unlimited budgets, and there is something for everyone. Our biggest issue right now is just lack of inventory. We have very limited inventory. I'll be interested to see what the data, how it's looked at for this first quarter, but I can't imagine that we have more than 25% of what we had a year ago. I mean, it's very limited. No. So yeah,
they say it's going to loosen up a little bit, but it's still, we have such little inventory pretty much across the country that it might loosen up a teeny bit, but I don't think it's going to be too much better. So,
no.
You know, I love Connecticut, and I think there's a price, you know, you can get a condo. I mean, you can get, there's every price point. You don't have to buy a mansion. And commuting to New York City, about how far is that? How easy is that commute?
Easy. I mean, there's from Greenwich, you're less than an hour. Darien, less than an hour. And as you go up the line, New Canaan's over an hour. Westport's over an hour. Stamford, obviously, is between Darien and Greenwich, and that's still under an hour. So the commute's very fast on Metro North. You know, it's not as difficult to park at train stations anymore post-pandemic. So it's easy to move out and still be able to do a commute and park where you want to park, which I think makes it very attractive across, you know, moving out of the city and being able to have a little piece of land that you can call your own.
Now, is this true? I thought I read something, and it might have been years ago, but I kind of remember reading something that Greenwich, which is, you know, Greenwich is Greenwich, that their taxes are lower than most parts of Connecticut. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct. Yes. Greenwich has the lowest mill rate in Fairfield County. So that's a plus, right? So we may have higher prices, but also taxes are much lower. And, you know, compared to Westchester, Greenwich taxes on, let's say, a 10,000 square foot home on 4 acres, you know, if the taxes are $50,000 in Greenwich, they could be $150,000 in Westchester.
Right. I mean, and isn't that somehow, because I thought I read that back in history they got an exemption, and then that's in place. So when you look at prices, when you're looking at homes, don't just look at the price, because you have to add taxes in when you're looking at the overall cost of running something. And you're going to find that the prices in Greenwich are really, I mean, the taxes are really so much less than places around it. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So what should someone expect if they're buying in Greenwich? What are some of the amenities? Okay. And what are the pluses that you see? I mean, look, Westchester is great. All the boroughs are great. But if you want to be out of the city, and look, when I first, and I'm not knocking New York City, I have an apartment there. But when I first came to New York City in real estate, I mean, I've always been in New York City socially, but for real estate, I would walk into some apartments that were millions of dollars, and I said, how do these people live here? They can't even be mad at each other. They have to look at each other 24/7. There's very, you know, you don't get much for the amount of space. In Greenwich, you can get a lot of space. So if you go on the, I know on the higher end, but on the lower end, what can you expect if you're, you know, if you're a person wanting to spend like $750, something of that nature?
$700,000 to $750,000?
Around.
You can get a condo. Yeah, you can definitely get a condo in town. You can get a condo in town. You could get perhaps a small home. I'd say you're probably looking at closer to $1 million, but definitely a small home. I mean, you know, and in, I think across Darien, Stamford, Norwalk, there's still options to get a home under $1 million as well. You had asked about amenities. In Greenwich, you have phenomenal beaches. You have ferries to private islands that are really fun. Kids love to explore. You have incredible parks and nature preserves, fantastic restaurants. Every amenity that you have in New York City, you have in Greenwich or within, you know, driving distance, 5-10 minutes of Greenwich, like a SoulCycle or a Barry's Boot Camp as far as exercise classes go, or Row House. Phenomenal restaurants, you know, I think, you know, butchers, cheesemongers, everything you could find in New York, we have those amenities in Greenwich, which I think make it very attractive. And then, yes, under $1 million, there's condo options across Greenwich, from Greenwich proper to Old Greenwich. So you have different, like, sections of town. There's something for everyone in Greenwich.
And as far as shopping and things of that nature, Greenwich has great shops, great shopping,
oh my gosh.
A great town.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's, I love it shopping there.
Oh, yeah. Whether you want to go to Hermes or you want to go to, like, a local clothing shop or, like, a Shoes and More, we've got it all.
Yeah, you do. So now,
really,
what advice would you give people who are looking to buy homes? How should, give them some how to's, where to start, how, if they're thinking of moving to Greenwich, where would they start? How would they, where would they begin? What kind of research should they do? Give us the process.
I think if you're looking to buy in this market, you need to be prepared. If you are getting a mortgage, I highly recommend everyone getting a mortgage, conditional mortgage approval, which means you've been fully underwritten and you just need an appraisal, because right now you're going to be bidding against others and, you know, you need to be properly prepared. And that's about as close as you can get to cash without being cash if you're getting a mortgage. You need to be working with an agent, hopefully someone on my team, but who's knowledgeable and knows the other agents and knows how to get a deal done. It's, you know, we've all come off of the pandemic where there was a lot of agents doing business that didn't normally do business. And it's frustrating when you're not working with someone who knows their client and knows how to get to closing. So you definitely want to be with someone who understands the market, especially because a lot of times houses are listed at a price and they're going to go between 10 and 20% over ask. And if your agent doesn't know that, you're not going to win, which means you're not going to be able to buy your dream home. So
we have a break coming up, but you know what I'd like you to talk about afterwards, because I don't think people realize the importance of an agent who knows how to negotiate. And so after the break, I'd like to talk to you a little about how do you determine how well someone knows how to negotiate, because that's really important, and I think a lot of people miss that point. I think we have a break. We'll be right back with Jennifer Leahy, who is probably the number one person to go to if you're going to Greenwich or Fairfield County. We'll be right back. We're just going to take a quick commercial break.
Hello, my friends. Dennis Prager here. You've probably been hearing me talk about Y-Refi for some time now, and yes, many of my colleagues do as well. What makes Y-Refi so different from other investments? Let's quickly break it down. Y-Refi offers a secure, collateralized portfolio with a strong fixed rate of return up to 10.25%. There is no attack on your principal if you ever need your money back, and you're in control. You can let your investment compound daily or take income, whatever you choose. There are absolutely no fees, and an investment in Y-Refi is an investment in America's future. Simply call 888-Y-Refi, that's the letter Y, R-E-F-Y, 24, Y-Refi 24. That's 888-Y-Refi 24, and when you call, you won't get a sales pitch, just the info you need to see if Y-Refi is a better investment option for you. Or log on to investyrefi.com, that's invest the letter Y, then refi, R-E-F-Y.com. And make sure you tell them Dennis Prager sent you.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation Let Us Do Good Village in Land O'Lakes, Florida is a community that will have about 100 homes for the foundation's program participants. Two families have already moved in, a Gold Star family and the family of a severely injured hero who served our nation moved into the community's first smart home. The Let Us Do Good Village is a special place where together families can heal. It's all thanks to an extraordinary donation of many acres of land and your generosity. Help America's greatest heroes and their families heal together. Make the Let Us Do Good Village the first of many communities like it. With every mortgage-free home, the foundation makes good on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices our heroes have made for our country and our communities. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
AM 970, The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
I'm back with Jennifer Leahy, and I know, Jennifer, that you have to run. But before you run, remember, she's the number one agent in Connecticut. Do you have any tips, any trends that you see in the near future that you're noticing?
I think the trend is just from this lack of inventory is you have to be with an agent who really understands the inventory. So I'd say that if you want to win and you want to buy the house that the house of your dreams, make sure that your agent knows what's going on and that you have your ducks in a row. This is a very tight market where you need to be smart. And like you had said before the break, you just have to have someone who is able to negotiate it for you effectively so that you can buy a house. Because we have bid wars where there's 18 bids for one house. So if you want to win, you really need to have an agent that's going to represent you and get it done.
That's right. Jennifer, thank you so much. I'm sure I'm going to see you soon. Thank you, Daddy. And have a great rest of the day. Thanks for being here.
You too, Daddy. Thank you so much. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, so now I thought that since we're talking about buying homes, I am going to start from the very elementary beginning. If you're buying a home, especially if you're a first-time home buyer, you need to have a checklist, okay, that can take a and that can help you take a major weight off your shoulders when you're ready to buy, okay? So to help you figure that out, here's what you should do. Number one, okay, I believe that you should find, you should go to a bank, and I would go to more than one and get qualified and see what you can afford and or how much the banks will lend you, okay? Have your, and before you even do that, have your check, run a credit check. And there's three credit agencies, so run a couple of them and make sure your credit is up to par, because sometimes there's just mistakes because they make mistakes and you don't want to apply for a mortgage and then find there was a mistake. You want to do that all before you apply for a mortgage. So have your credit checked out. Go to a loan officer. At least I would go to one or two or three, actually. Find out what programs they have. And if you're a first-time buyer, really inquire, because sometimes there's some special programs that people don't know about for first-time buyers. Find a real estate agent. And today is no market to try to do it on your own, because as Jennifer said, in most places we're experiencing a real shortage of inventory. There's more buyers than there are homes for sale. So you're going to be up in most part against competition. So you want to find an agent that knows the markets, on top of the market. And when something comes out, you can't doodle around. If somebody says, hey, a listing just came out in the area that you're looking for, you need to get there ASAP. Don't waste time. And even if it's not what you like, you still have to get there, because if you wait, it'll be gone. Okay, so finding a the right real estate agent, finding, and I really believe, now you can use real estate agents that are from other areas, but I'm always a believer of trying to find a real estate agent that works in that area. Okay. Stick with your price range. So many people do this. They look at properties that are outside their price range and they say, okay, we love that house, but we want this area. And maybe that area is a cheaper area, so you could get that house in that area for a price. But if you want a specific area, don't try to move around it. Stick with that area, because all that's going to happen is you're going to find a house that you love. It's going to be in a different, and usually in suburbs, the area, the prices also depend on school districts. The better the school districts are rated, usually the higher the price. So if you're interested in a certain school district for whatever reasons, maybe you have academically excelling kids, maybe you have sports, kids that are good in sports, stick with the same school district, because prices, you could have a house that's one block away, the same identical house, but in a different school district, and it could be like $50,000 less. And you'd say, gee, what a great bargain, when you're not realizing that the prices in that school district are cheaper. So you should really stick with the area that you want to buy. I told you, talk to a mortgage lender and talk to more than one and get pre-approved. Now, when you get pre-approved, that means that they will, the bank is saying, we will allow you to borrow this much money. We will be willing to lend you this much money as long as the home appraises. I've always told you this. Once you get pre-approved and you know how much you can borrow, then you need to say to yourself, or if you're buying a property with a spouse or a partner, a friend, you need to say, okay, we can borrow this, but are we comfortable on spending this? Okay, because it depends on how you want to live. Some people say, you know what? I'll give up everything. I won't go to dinner. We won't go out so much, but it's worth it. We'd rather spend the money and get this property that we love. Other people say, no, I don't want to give up my social life. I don't want to go. I don't want to give up going out to dinner two or three times a week. So it's not only what you can borrow. It's really most important what you're comfortable with spending. And remember, I hate to say this, but even if you bought a new house, brand new construction, there's always something that's going to go wrong. Okay, there's always something that will fall apart or break down or some expense. So you need to make sure you have some kind of slush fund. I really think that's important. You don't want to cut it to the wire where you just don't have any slush fund. And make sure when you get your pre-approval that it's good for at least 90 days. If you can get 120 days, that's even better. Again, if you did your credit check, and you found any mistakes or you found things that were, you know, like you have a car payment. Sometimes, and that's when you work with a good mortgage broker, they might say to you, listen, pay off your car, pay off that bill. You'll be able to get borrow more money. And if you're looking to buy a home and you're a first-time buyer, even if you're not a first-time buyer, don't go out and buy any big-ticket items. Try not to spend a lot of money on anything, like don't buy a new car, okay? Also, try not to switch jobs when you're looking for homes because banks look for stability. Check your credit score. Remember, a good credit score is from 700 to 759. A fair score is 650 to 699. And a score of 300 to 649 is considered poor. Now, when you see a bank and they give you an interest rate, that interest rate is not for everyone. That interest rate is probably only for the people with perfect credit or very good credit. So if you have not such good credit or maybe a fair credit, your interest rate is probably going to be higher. So you want to make sure that your credit and anything that you can do to help your credit, and that's why when you go to a mortgage broker, they'll tell you that you do that all before you apply for a mortgage. You don't want to wait till after you apply. You want to do that before. Remember, your credit score is calculated based on a number of factors, including your debt payment history. So it's how you pay bills. So remember, you should always pay bills on time. But especially if you're looking to buy a home, they look at how you pay. So don't pay late. Make sure that you try to pay on time. They look at your debt to credit utilization, in other words, how much debt you have, and the length of your credit history. So if you have no credit, make sure you get some. If you find that your credit score is subpar and it's not great, you may be able to take steps to boost your score, and there are people that will help you get your credit score up. Just keep in mind that you won't improve a credit score overnight. Indeed, if you find that your credit score is too low, then you might have to wait a little bit and get your credit up to par, because the better your credit is, the easier you'll get a mortgage, but not only that, the better mortgage rate you will get. As I said, determine where you want to live. Don't mix it all up. Don't go to an area that's cheaper and say, oh, I like that house in this cheaper area, but I want it in this area. Stick to the area that you want. And again, as I said, do not buy anything. Walk the straight and narrow path for your finances. Okay. Do that right up until the time that you close, because that's very important. Now, some of you, if you're very fortunate, I'm not one of them, but if you were fortunate to have the bank of mom and dad, that's a plus, okay? If you have the bank of dad, your parents may buy outright for you, that's a possibility, or co-purchase, okay? Or assist you with a down payment or closing costs. And if they have that money that they're willing to do that, that's great. I'm not going to have time to get into that today because I think we're running out of time. But I will continue next week on, if your parents don't have that kind of money, there's still ways they can help you without an outlay of money, and I will give you all of those tips and some other tips on how to start buying a home and get the best mortgage rate that you can. I think we're out of time, so I'm going to wish everyone a great week. And enjoy your week. Safe, happy, fun, and we'll be back next week.
The preceding hour of programming paid for by DTHY Realty Incorporated.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.